want to take, again, any more time. You know, over the years, we've been so privileged to have what I would argue are some of the best guest speakers and Bible teachers share from this pulpit, and today is certainly no exception. Pastor Jack is a very dear friend of mine, and I just have a love for this brother, and God has used him in my life over the years in a powerful way. And when I reached out to him earlier this year to ask him if he would come this morning, I think I begged. No, I didn't have to beg.
No, you didn't.
I had to beg Pastor Bill to let you be here today. But when he said that he would come and speak today, I can't even begin to tell you how honored I am to have my friend Jack here today. I don't want to get emotional, but again, I just have a profound love for this brother. So, would you, I'm going to have him come up at this time, would you give him a warm welcome?
Love you, brother. Oh my goodness. It's so strange for me to be here with you, and I'll tell you why. Is the fact that, well, I guess I'll explain it this way. Have you ever taken a pair of binoculars and you've in a quick hurry you didn't realize what end you're holding? And you turned them around and you looked the opposite way? You said, like, these are not working, this is strange. Things look so different. I got to tell you something. It's so amazing for me to be here because I'm used to looking at your services on the other end of a computer. And to be standing here this morning is surreal to me. It's so strange. You know, we're in the sanctuary right now, but I'm sure you guys know that your church is massive and around the world. You know that? I'm telling you, one from comes from Southern California. I watch your services. I'm listening to JD. And do you guys realize your investment? You know, you mentioned the Agape Box and all of that. Would to God more churches in America would get the word of God out like your church does? So that, listen, we are either senders or goers in the body of Christ. And you mentioned the Agape Box in giving to the Lord. I just want all of you to know, from an outsider, it's getting very difficult in this world as believers to invest in a godly work. They're getting very hard to find. And I thank God for this church, holding the line of truth, no compromise. And I'm not surprised that when I pulled up here today to see the new facility and all that's going on here and what's going to go on from here, it's because of your faithfulness. God is using your efforts to literally touch the ends of the earth. There are people watching your services from all over the world. And that truth tells me that Jesus will be back soon. Father, I just pray and I ask you, Lord, this morning that as we look into the Word and God, that as we gather on this, the Lord's Day, we pray, Father, that we would be a transformed people. And Lord, I too share, Lord, the love for JD and for this fellowship. And I thank you, Lord God, that for maybe most or if not all of us in this gathering right now, we've never met personally. But Lord, how awesome it is to have the koinonia of the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned to JD earlier this morning, if blood's thicker than water, as the saying goes, then I thank you for this ohana today, that spirit's thicker than blood. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6 today. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to be talking to you about something that is probably the true saying, if ever, I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are very well-taught people, but by God's grace, this morning, God's Word will speak to us about the times in which we live in. I don't need to give you prophecy updates. Your pastor is the master of that. And I can tell you right now, there's pastors all over the world that spy on JD's updates. And I'm telling you, there are ministries that listen to him and then they go out and they say the same thing a little bit differently, kind of making it sound like it's their idea or that they found it. You are in a well-taught church. But in Ephesians chapter 6, in fact, we're going to look at a message this morning entitled, "What Are Christians to Be Doing in Times Like These?" In the times like these around us, what are we to be doing? Can I remind you before we start reading that you and I answer to a completely different government? You and I answer to a completely different king. You and I answer to a completely different citizenship than that of being a Hawaiian or that of being a Californian or that of being an American. You and I transcend in our relationship with God into another kingdom that is not of this world. I want to remind you of that as we're looking at what Paul said to the Ephesians chapter 6. Look in your Bibles down at verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You ought to underline that in your Bible. The trickery of Satan. None of us are skilled enough to fight off the trickery, the tactics of Satan. But by the word of God and the power of God. Verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." Listen to that. Take it up. Pull it up. Draw it around you. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, meaning every Christian should be able to give the gospel, not just some evangelist, all of us. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Lord, bless the going forth of this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when we talk about living in a time like this, it's obvious. We all know this, but we need to be reminded that on your birthday, when you came into the world, whatever birthday that is for you, God had a plan. It was the exact purpose of God that you'd be born into the 21st century living today. Whatever date it was that you were brought into the world, God had a plan for you to be alive today. I'm not saying that because I'm supposed to. I'm saying that because I believe God is sovereign. I believe that God rules and reigns. You know, Ben Franklin said that it is God, it is the providence above that rules and reigns among men. I love that understanding. I love that. It's biblically true. For you and I to be believers, for you and I to be in this service right now, we can take a big breath, take it in and relax, knowing that whatever's going on in life, it is engineered by God that you be a Christian at this time, that whatever you're going through in life is what God is working through in your life for the growth of faith and for great experience in Christ, and that you would be alive at a time like this to experience and to view what's happening in the world. It's important you understand that we are not to be overcome by the pressures of this life. We're not to be crushed by the issues that are pressing against us. The world, church, is caving in because of the pressures. So we're going to go through a number of things today, and I'm going to ask you to write them down. Are you guys a note-taking church? Please do. Awesome. Excellent. I think it's important because, you know, 5 minutes after we're done, you're going to forget 90% of what I talked about. But if you write it down, then you know what? Maybe you'll only forget 80% of what I'm talking about. But it does pay to write it down. Number one, what are we to be doing with all of what's happening in the world, prophetic fulfillment, the alignment of what's taking place, the issues of life? What are we supposed to be doing? Number one, listen, number one is that we're to be in the Word more than ever. Listen, it's an obvious truth, but let me tell you, in the Word more than ever. Jesus made it very clear to us that regarding the Word of God, that as we approach the last days, more and more people will be giving up on drawing themselves to the Word of God. You got to make an effort to get into the Bible. And please, church, we all know this, right? That getting into the Bible is not Sunday mornings. I don't know how you like to eat, but my wife, poor thing, she has to put up with the things that I cook. I'm kind of, I love Mediterranean food. That's kind of all I eat. And in the morning, poor thing, I wake up before her and I steam broccoli in the morning. I steam broccoli. I have my hummus. I have almonds and I have an organic egg. And that combination makes our house stink in the morning. But when she wakes up, she knows, well, Jack's awake and he's doing his thing. And it sounds kind of boring, but you know what? You can acquire taste to it. But you know what? Part of acquiring the taste is the seasonings. I like spicy food. And so I just put all kinds of hot, awesome spices on it and I eat it. Listen, church on Sunday is the spice to your daily living as a Christian. Monday being the Bible, Tuesday being the Bible. You say, Pastor, isn't that a little legalistic? Not at all. It's freedom. It's liberty. Don't wait till next Sunday to get into the Word. That is no fun. Because here's the deal. Get in the Word of God in these last days like never before on a personal basis. And I mean this sincerely. If you don't have a place to get alone with God, create one after this service today. Find a chair, put it in a certain direction. Wherever you live, whatever you do, find a spot. I'm serious. I used to live in an apartment way back when before I got married. And here's the deal is it was a very small apartment. So I found a spot. This is not going to sound very glamorous. And I hope nobody hears this outside the walls of this church. But it was the bathroom in the apartment. It was the bathroom. It was the perfect place. It was quiet. I could turn on the fan in the bathroom and it was so loud that it drowned out any distractions. It's where I met Jesus. Hey, if you can meet Jesus in a prison cell, if you can meet Jesus out at sea, if you can meet Jesus anywhere, you know why? It's the Bible open. When the Bible's open, he's going to be there. When you get together with the Lord in these last days, expect him to speak to you. John chapter 13, verse 19. Jesus said this. John 13, 19. Now I tell you before it comes to pass that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. The word in Greek is ego emi. It's the Greek word or title or name of the exact same Hebrew word that when Moses met God on the mountain. Do you remember when Moses is going back down the mountain and you kind of almost see Moses get ready to be faithful to the mission and he stops and turns around and says, but who do I tell the people who sent me? What do I say? And what did God say to Moses to tell the people? You tell the people, I am that I am sent you. And in the Greek, it's ego eimi. Jesus said that. I've told you these things before they come to pass, that when they do happen, you will know ego eimi, that I am the same one Moses met on the mountain. I'm the same one. So when we get into the Word for the days that are ahead of us, we know this. We are meeting with the I Am. That means he knows everything. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Jesus said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Look, that's the Olivet Discourse. But this truth is eternal. So Calvary Chapel, Jesus is saying to us this morning, take heed that nobody deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. Wow. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Is that not happening? Now, I know that what Jesus is speaking about is something that is ultimately fulfilled, what I believe is the near future. But are we not hearing of wars and rumors of wars? I was heading down the freeway this morning, and from where I was coming from, I could see Pearl Harbor to my right. And of course, December 7th is a big deal in my home. My mom was raised in an orphanage downtown. She went to McKinley High School, graduated. She met my dad here in the Marine Corps. But my mom's orphanage was bombed on December 7, 1941. My uncle had an ice cream truck service in Honolulu. And the military police confiscated his ice cream trucks and began to put bodies in the ice cream trucks trying to get them to the hospital. December 7th is a big deal to us. And I looked at that harbor, and I thought about December 7th. And then I thought about you guys. When was that? Not too long ago, when all of your phones lit up on that. Was it a Sunday morning or a Saturday? It was a Saturday, right? It was a Saturday. And according to the news and the alert, you had minutes to live. You lived for a moment, wars and rumors of wars. But it's happening all around the world. At the CIA website, they'll tell you that at any given time between tribal groups in Africa or nations warring, there's somewhere between 126 and 133 tribal or national wars taking place at any given time in the world. Is that nuts? Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation or ethnos, ethnos will rise against ethnos. That's racial group will rise against racial group. I don't know how it is on the islands, but just come to L.A. There's these ethnicity wars that are forming like never before. Kingdom against kingdom. That's political realm against political realm. There will be famines. By the way, the word in the Greek implies politically induced famines. You know, God gives rain and God caused the seeds to grow. And one of the most impoverished places in the world is North Africa today. If you were to fly over Ethiopia, you'd be shocked that anybody's hungry. It's green. It's beautiful. Why are people starving to death? Exactly what Jesus said. In the last days, there'll be famines, but it's induced by political intrigue and political shenanigans between powers. Isn't that sad? And we see it happening today, and it's going to increase. Pestilence, incurable diseases. Excuse me? What's the next word, you guys? Earthquakes in various places. JD, did we not see our phones were going off last night before I went to bed? My app was going off with all of the string of massive earthquakes that's been going on right now down in Indonesia, Fiji. JD, what were some of those magnitudes? 8.3, 7 point something, 6.8. And it was a bunch of them in a matter of a few hours. And you say, well, that always happens. Of course it's always happened. But they're increasing. Jesus said they're going to happen in various places. All these things, Jesus said, are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And listen, then many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Those days are increasing. You say, Jack, when's the rapture going to happen? I wish I knew, or maybe it's better we don't know. But I can tell you this. This portion of Matthew 24 is ahead of us, but are we not seeing things lining up, indicating? So we take notice that you and I are to be in the word more. It's remarkable, not to you, but how many churches, how many, especially new, young churches in America, do not teach Bible prophecy, they avoid it. When 27, some argue 31% of your Bible is prophetic, think of that. Over one quarter of your Bible is prophetic in nature. And you know, young pulpits today, of young pastors today, young churches are ignorant about Bible prophecy, and they should be more educated about it more than ever. And you want to know why this is true? Is because seminaries today are graduating pastors out of seminary, and they do not touch the doctrine of future things. Then listen, I want to tell you right now, because God wants us to know the future, to be prepared to share the Lord with other people. It's a great motivation for evangelism and for walking right before the Lord. When you begin to remove that factor out of a daily walk with Jesus, that the Lord could come back today for us, you have a tendency to kind of slack off. We want to be careful about that. And again, I'm preaching to the choir here. You guys know this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door that no one can shut, and for you have a little strength, and I love this. Because what? You have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Two things regarding a end times church that Jesus is looking for. You've kept my word, and you've not denied my name. You've stayed strong against false doctrines, strong against false messiahs. Thank God for you. Thank God for this church. But the word of God is the only thing that's going to keep you and I from going astray in these last days. How many of you have been Christians longer than, say, 20 years? Raise your hand. Longer than 20 years? Yeah? Well, just for a show of hands, under 20 years, raise your hands. Under 20. Why are not some of you, not raising your hands? What's the deal with that? Okay. Here's the thing. For those of us who've been Christians for a while, it's kind of sad. I've been, I'm coming up on 41, 42 years as a believer, the people, many people that we started walking our walk with the Lord with, right? They're no longer around. They went back into the world. I don't know. Listen, the longer you go, the fewer friends you have standing around you that you started with. Why? Because they give up on not applying to the word for themselves personally. Be careful about that. One more verse before we go into number two. This is something that's very near and dear to me right now. I'll tell you why in a second. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. Before I read the verse, do you know any Christians that are no longer going to church? Raise your hands. You know Christians who are no longer going to church. They, for whatever reason, they got their feelings hurt, somebody stepped on their toe or didn't say hi to them. Something happened and they just stopped going. I don't know what they're thinking. I'm going to punish the pastor. I'm going to punish the... Well, I don't know what they're thinking. But they're actually messing themselves up. So listen. Hebrews 10, 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. That is so important. You guys, some time ago, somebody at church thought it was a good idea, and I'm kind of a sucker for technology this way. I don't get it. I don't do it. Your pastor is savvy. He's smart on it. I don't understand it. I can barely use my phone. But here's the deal. Somebody at our church had an idea. Hey, let's live stream and let's get the word out. And okay. But I didn't know that when they said let's live stream, it meant that you could sit in the parking lot of our church and watch the service on the phone if you wanted to. I didn't know how it worked. So we threw the switch and went live streaming. Guess what happened? People stopped coming. I was wondering, what's going on? I asked my wife. She's so honest. My wife is amazing. Are the teachings okay? And, you know, my wife of almost 40 years now, just no messing around, just straight shooter. Yeah, they're all right. I mean, that's the last thing you want to hear your wife to say is that your messages are all right. You want your wife, who's your biggest, you know, she's going to be... So I started thinking, oh, my goodness, what's happening? Did I say something? God, you know, what's going on? What happened? And our attendance started... dwindling. And then we, listen, good friends stopped coming. Literally. Wait a minute. I called them. What's with you? What's going on? Oh, you know what? Now that we're streaming, it's great. We put on a pot of coffee. We stay in bed. We got our Bibles open. I was hurt. And I came across this verse right here in Hebrews. And you know what the Lord said to my heart? Jack, you're contributing to this. Excuse me, God? Listen, you're contributing to this. You've given people an excuse not to come to church. They forsake the assembling together. Dear friends, listen, if you're sick or if you're handicapped and you can't come to church wherever you are in the world, streaming is for you. But if you live down the street from this church or Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, it's not for you because it's not church. You've got to come together. You know how you came in here today and somebody opened the door for you and maybe somebody greeted you and somebody handed you a donut or a cup of coffee or whatever it is? That's church. Staying home is not church. Don't forsake the assembling together. You must make it a sacrifice to come. So you know what? I found out that we had a computer genius at our church and they put, remember Get Smart in the cone of silence? Remember that? They created something where if you live 15 miles away from the epicenter of the church, you're blocked. You're automatically blocked. It's a dead zone. It's the truth. And guess what happened? They all came back to church. And when they came back, I told them, you bunch of sinners, all of you. Shame on you. But the Lord convicted me. Jack, you cannot allow that to happen. Don't stop going because you need to be in the word. Number two, we're to be knowing what the Bible teaches more than ever. Stop listening. I know you don't, but I have to say it. Stop listening to Dr. Phil or Oprah or Discovery Channel or the National Geographic for theology. Don't get your theology from the History Channel. Every Christmas, every Easter, the History Channel comes out with the Bible uncovered. Oh, give me a break. Forget, stay into the teaching of God's word and know it for yourself. It is the way to live in the last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, remarkable verse that describes, maybe not Hawaii, it describes California. 2 Timothy 3, 1, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. You see, what does God tell us this stuff? To prepare you. Watch this. Those of you who know woodworking, you know in the old days, and I got to show you because I don't know what it's called. I think it's called a plane or a planer. Not sure. A block plane. So you got the handle, you know what I'm talking about? And you move it, you go like this, and it shaves off the little curly Q piece of the wood, you know, like Geppetto was doing in the Pinocchio, like this, going, and little threads curled up, falling off. That's what that word perilous times means. It means in the last days, the body, the believers, the church will be just worn down by the attacks of the outside world against it. And I'm telling you, man, in California, it's exciting. It's exciting to be a Christian in California. We are fighting for our biblical lives in California. California has gone, the government has gone after the church. And we've got two cases right now that Chino Hills is suing the state of California. And we're going to the U.S. Supreme Court because they're trying to, well, they did. They made an edict demanding that churches in California pay for the abortions in the state of California for anybody. And I wouldn't do it. I said, we're not going to do it. And he said, you have to do it. I'm not going to do it. And so we filed a lawsuit against the governor's office. And that's going to go to this U.S. Supreme Court in the future. We're getting ready for that. And another one. Another thing that is scheduled to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's going to become law on January 1st if it passes on Governor Brown's desk. And he said that he's going to pass it. Is that it's called AB 2943. I'm giving you this not because of politics. I'm giving you this because of that picture I gave you a moment ago. Evil coming. Notice, abortion is a spiritual issue. It's not a political issue. You kill life, that you kill babies, God takes that personally. Okay? That's a biblical issue. State of California has just decided that it is wrong for a pastor, if somebody comes to our churches in California and they are of the LGBTQ community, and they have doubts. They want to have counseling regarding their lifestyle. Notice, we didn't go to them. If they come to us, and it includes California state licensed counselors as well, it's illegal to counsel them. It's literally called anti-conversion therapy bill. Do you know what our legislators have done in California? They have condemned the LGBT community for any free exercise of thought or counseling. Planning in the last days, perilous times will come. Pressures from the world, from the outside world. You would be overcome unless you knew what the Bible taught on this. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Are we okay, everybody? Galatians 1 verse 6, I marvel that you are turning so soon away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different or another gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other or another gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And there's, quote, gospels all over today. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. Paul said to the Corinthians, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let me pause there for a second. Don't make Christianity difficult. It's supposed to be simple. Don't overthink it. Just believe God. Don't complicate it. It's the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for Jack. For Jack's sins. He rose again from the dead for Jack's sins, for my sins. That's the gospel truth. If I would recognize that and turn from my life to him, it's called repentance, metanoia, to change the mind of the how I view Jesus and go to him, then I'll have eternal life. The simple gospel. God doesn't want your money. He doesn't want anything else about you, but he wants your heart. Just like any decent relationship in this life. Relationships are weird and funny because some of them could be, and listen, somebody, and I don't know if you saw it in the news, it made world news, I think, somebody in our town, in Chino Hills, a couple of years ago, won the biggest lottery in the history of mankind. Did you see that? The guy won $750 million. And he reported on the news, everybody, he had people calling him, hey, remember me? Went to high school together. That's not relationship. That's not, listen, all of a sudden, people may be surrounding you or whatever the case may be. It's not necessarily a relationship. It's not a relationship until you give your heart away. Okay, I love your pastor because, listen, him and I have discussions. We've had talks that, you know what? It's deep stuff. It's serious business. It's life stuff. I've given him my heart. He's given me his heart. It's relationship. You don't need many friends like that in the world, but you need some. The truth of the matter is, don't complicate it. Verse 4, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we've not preached, or if, listen to this, if you receive a different spirit for which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. How are you going to know in these last days? What if a church down the street meets, they got a cross out front, they got awesome worship, they got all of this stuff going on. It's very amazing. And the pastor comes out. He's got a Bible. He's teaching, but something's a little off. And it keeps kind of snowballing. Watch out. I'm convinced Satan does not show up with red underwear and a pitchfork and horns sticking out of his hat. It's very subtle. And you'll only know how to defend yourself by the word of God. Listen, number 3, what are Christians to be doing in times like these? We're to be discerning about what we see and what we hear more than ever. The internet, I don't know. I mean, JD's using it right. If people today form an opinion about everything by the internet, this is a very scary time we live in. We have got to really be careful to judge everything that we see and everything that we hear against the word of God, against the truth. We're living in increasingly bizarre days that I believe all leads to apathy. I was checked out this morning. It's the Embassy Suites. Where is that? Away on the West End somewhere. And so I saw these kids. I went down by the... Where did I go? I went to North Shore last night and I had a fish taco from a little truck on the side of the road. And I'm sitting in paradise eating a fish taco. And there were these 3 kids, teens. And they got their board shorts on, flip flops on. And they're sitting on the park bench in the middle of paradise when the sun is setting. And not one of them looked up. They all 3 were looking at their phones. And I took a picture of them looking at their phones. Because they're missing the world happening around them. Everything's going on around them. Be careful what you see. Your eye. What you hear. Your ears. Judge everything. You're a Christian in this world. We are Christians. We are weirdos in this world. We don't live like the world. The world throws out a 15-second soundbite and you're supposed to live your life by it. Not us. Not us. We live by a completely different standard. Our standard is to marinate, to be saturated in the things of God. I encourage you to saturate your home with praise music. If you don't have any praise music, at least put on Mozart or somebody like that. I mean, those dudes were anointed, man. Just get your attitude. Have you noticed your attitude in your mind by what you see, by what you hear? You guys, I grew up in a very unloving home. It was not a Christian home. And it was very strict. Very, very black and white. This way, this way, this way. If you don't, you pay the price. My dad, I told you my dad was in the Marines here in Hawaii, but I was born in San Diego. He was stationed there. And you don't cross the line. And my dad never talked. You cross the line. You cross the line, you didn't hear about it. You felt it. You cross the line, you got it. So much to the point when we were at dinner, my dad would reach for the salt or pepper shaker, we'd flinch. That's sad. Listen, that is not the way to live. But I'm telling you right now that in the world that we live in, Jesus can so change things and turn things around. My dad wanted me to know what he was thinking somehow supernaturally so I would not cross the line, which is impossible. He told me one day, and I won't repeat it, he said, you know what, son, you're 16 years old, here's the deal. In about 30 seconds, he gave me the rules. And it went in one ear, and it stayed in that one ear because of fear. Do you understand that? God does not want you to live like that with him. God says what he says to you because he loves you. His grace is abounding toward you. His communication to you is not like my earthly dad's communication. My first 3 or 4 years as a believer was so difficult because whenever I would read the Bible and hear the Bible, I would always hear it through the filter of my dad's strictness and my dad's firmness. And I had a very skewed, and you know, I grew up at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Have you ever seen Chuck Smith? I mean, he's in heaven now, but have you ever saw Pastor Chuck? Did he smile or did he smile? The guy had a smile, and I'm thinking, what's he smiling about? He's a Christian. I'm a Christian. Why is he smiling? What's he smiling about? He just smiled all the time. And if you met Chuck Smith, it's funny because he would give you a hug and he'd talk to you, and you would think, wow, this is love. I just feel like I know this guy. He's like a dad. Instantly. It's Jesus coming out of him. I never knew that. When you hear God speak, and when you watch what God does, the foundation of it all is love. In these last days, we are to be known like the Christians were known in Rome for their love for one another. Because your friends and family and your coworkers, wherever you're at, they need the love of God. And you are that instrument. They may never read a Bible. You're it. Tag. You're it. You're the one. The Amplified Version of the Bible. Amplified Version. Luke chapter 21 verse 34 says, but take heed to yourselves to be on guard so that your hearts aren't overburdened or depressed, weighed down with allurements and headaches that self-indulgence and worldly worries bring. Wow. Be careful about things that pertain to the business of this life and that of Christ come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. Watch out. How do we do this? Luke 21:28 says, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. How exciting is that? We're living in those days. I believe that. It's amazing. JD's telling you about it all the time. You guys, can I just underscore so you hear it from some other horse's mouth? This is amazing. Turkey, Israel, Syria, Russia, the global situation regarding economics, borders. Thank God you guys live here. You know, you have a border. If your state chooses not to defend its borders, I mean, it's kind of no big deal. You're surrounded by an ocean. Hello? California, we're being invaded. It's crazy. By the way, all across the California and Texas and Arizona desert, I got a Department of Homeland Security agent gave me showed me a copy. All over the desert is how to find certain safe houses in the Los Angeles, San Diego area, or in the El Paso, Texas area, or in Tucson, Arizona area. Written in Spanish on one side and Arabic on the other side. Borders. Why do I bring this up? When we look around at what's happening in the world, even the border settings, you know, God designed borders. He said in the Old Testament that he has prescribed the nations and their borders and set them in place. But we're seeing a breakup around the world. You think borders issue is a big deal? You should go to Europe. Europe's really messed up. This is all prerequisite to the coming of the Antichrist. He's going to use that. It's an amazing time. But be careful. Be discerning about what you see and hear. And can I give you something I learned from some young people, from some millennials? They said, Pastor Jack, here's the big buzzword in our generation. This is what the young people just fall over for. Oh, okay. Here it is. You ready? We now know, that's the statement. You know, Pastor, we now know. That's their authority. Well, you know, like you can say to them, did you know that the sun is 93 million miles from Earth, and God said it just perfectly situated in his astrophysics mind. He placed it just right, and if it was 1 mile closer, we'd burn. If it was 1 mile further, we'd freeze. Did you know that's true? And it speaks of design, and you tell that to some young college kid today, and they go, yeah, but we now know that, and this is true, I'm not kidding. We now know that there's altered universes, and we're not even sure that the conversation we're having right now is actually a reality. This could be a dream. I said, where do you go to school? UC Berkeley. And I said, go tell your parents that they should get their money back. Demand that your parents get their money back. You think I'm making this up? It's dead serious. Pastor, we may not be having an actual talk in reality right now. Be careful what you see and what you hear. Thank God for the Bible. Number four, we're to be living out our faith in the world. I like this part. I have to hurry. I'm looking at the time. We got to hurry. We're to be living out our faith in this world. Christian, what I'm about to say to you gets me so excited. Living out your faith is the only way faith works. You cannot. I mean, you can. It's just going to be really a drag. You can be a Christian and be going to heaven. Got that. But if you're not living out your faith in a public way, and I don't mean being a big mouth like I am. I mean in a public way. If you see somebody, if you see a homeless person, you say, well, that's a homeless person. A lot of homeless people, of course. Well, if I feed him, it just contributes to his, hey, that's not your business. Is the person hungry? Listen, irrelevant of the issues and irrelevant of that. Go swing through McDonald's. Go give them something. See, what is that? Faith. You're putting faith in action. What's happening here on this property, in the vision that you guys have for this church? That's faith in action. God will bless it. When there's no vision, you're not going to have blessings. Believe me. Why would God bless a work that just plans on parking and sitting? It's not going to happen. But when you leave this building today after this service, you're going to go back. All of you are going to go back to your area of influence, whatever street you live on, whatever community is, and just be radical with your faith. Bake some cookies or what's those things? The mala. Yeah, that. And didn't you have at the table that little thing? It looked like it was his color a poi. Is there like a poi cake out there somewhere? Hey, grab some of those. Terrell. Yeah. Take it and give it to somebody and say, and they're going to, what are you doing this for? So you know what? Because Jesus gives stuff away. And I wanted to give this to you. And by the way, before I leave you, did you know Jesus died on the cross for you? You say, Pastor, I could never do it. That's why I'm telling you, go do it. Go do that. Watch what happens. You say, that's scary. Yes, it's scary. You guys, we don't live far from Disneyland. People pay a zillion bucks to get a ticket to get the snot scared out of them. Oh, we're going to go in this thing and you're going to fall. You're going to feel like you're dying. It's amazing. And your stomach comes out of your mouth and your hair and you're freaking out and you think you're about this far from death. And you pay for this? Hey, listen, you want excitement? Be a Christian. Put your faith in action. Listen, Christianity should never be boring. The disciples could barely keep up with Jesus for 3.5 years. I see Jesus walking in the Galilee or walking in Jerusalem, I see the disciples somehow running behind him, trying to keep up with them. When God is on the move, the biggest thing for us is to stay up with him. Jesus, in the morning when you get up, Lord, what are we doing today? Think of that. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, get up. Lord, what are we doing today? You're tempted to say, well, you know what? He said to ask, Lord, what are we doing today? I got to go to work today. Guess what? God gave you that job. There's people at your job. They're lost. They're hurting. And one more thing before we move on. You want your neighbors, your friends, your family, your enemies to become Christians? I can give you this little tip. Treat them like Christians. You know the guy that you can't stand? Let's be honest. We're in church. You know the guy that you can't stand at work? Treat him like a Christian. Start treating the world like they're believers. And you know what? They most often, in my case, become believers. It's quite amazing. Live out your faith. We don't have much time. We're going to get out of here. You say, what if the rapture doesn't happen? You're going to drop dead. You still don't have time. If we all die of old age, how long is that going to be? Right? We don't have much time. It's pretty exciting to think. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. Okay, now I'm going to test you on a second. You are the light of the world. Which is amazing because he said of himself that he was the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. In other words, very obvious. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Hang on, church. I'm going to put you on the spot now. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That last statement is amazing. It means this. In the day of judgment, the world is going to glorify your Father because of your witness. They may be going to hell. They may have rejected Christ. But they'll give glory to God in the end, on the day of judgment, because of your witness. What's your witness? Letting your light so shine. Jesus had put that lamp on a holder so all can see it. So here's my question. This church, where is this church, you, your life, where are you not supposed to shine your light? I'm listening. Where are you not supposed to be shining your light? Yeah, it's silent in here, but you said the right thing. Nowhere. Nowhere means everywhere, yes? We're to shine our light everywhere. So back home, I get written up, I get hated, I get hate mail. People walk out on our church because I'll take a biblical worldview stand regarding an attack by a politician. I'm not political, but I've been branded political. It's very sad. It's not true. By the way, just to prove my point, two times the Republican Party, they're crazy. The Democrats are crazy. Republicans are crazy. I'm actually a monarchist. I don't know if you know that, but I'm not anarchist, monarchist. I want to make sure I got that right. I'm monarchist. I worship a king, and I belong to a kingdom, and I'm hoping he comes back before second service begins. But I'm a monarchist, but here's the deal. Twice the Republican Party in California has asked me to run for office. If I were political, I would have run. I'm not political. I'm biblical. And so I want to stand for what's true. But the fact of the matter is, when you tell your congregation, as we do at home, call all the phone numbers of these senators because they are trying to have abortions available paid for by 501c3 churches in our state. You call your senator in your ear and you tell them that you're not going to vote for them anymore. Listen, that's actually being salt and light. Did you know that? It's actually called doing righteousness. You know what I'm talking about, right? The Bible says to do good. That's the word righteousness. Question. Regarding our faith, where do we do good? Where do we do righteousness? Wherever there's unrighteousness. There's no escaping this. And personally, I love it. I love that. But we're to reach the world. Number five, we're to be praying the Bible into our lives. This is important to me because I don't know about you. Prayer is a hard thing. Now, let me answer that. Number one, you and I as believers, we always have an attitude of prayer. You know what I'm saying? Right? Aren't you kind of always, that door is always open talking to God, right? It's always there. You're talking to God constantly. But when you single out a moment to pray, for what, if it's on your knees or if it's standing, and you're going to go to what is called concerted, or we would even say intercessory prayer, it's hard work. And I want to give you this tip. Pray the Bible. You want your prayers answered? You want to pray rightly? You want to pray in such a way that it honors God? There's nothing goofy, weird about it. And you can expect God to answer in His timing? Pray the Bible. Listen to this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, regarding the context of our message in these last days. It says, "Now the Holy Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." You can take that prophetic exhortation and pray it. So watch this. 1 Timothy 4:1. "Now the Holy Spirit expressly says, Lord, I'm asking you in Jesus' name that my ear would be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to my life." Right, everybody? Okay, number two. "That in the latter days some will depart from the faith." Oy. Lord, may I never depart from the faith. I don't even want to go there. And all of a sudden, do you have a husband? Do you have a wife? Lord, may Fred not depart. May Wilma not depart. Barney, Betty, not depart. Oh, wait, I've got kids. Oh, Lord, may Ashley not depart. Are you with me? Now, all of a sudden, you've got prayer happening according to the word of God in these last days. Oh, God. May Rebecca, oh, wait a minute, not only Rebecca and Ash, I've got grandkids. Oh, Lord, let Ames be strong in his faith. Oh, God, Oliver, may Oliver be strong. May he never depart. And Emmy, I'm counting the hours. Emmy, my granddaughter, 8 years old, she's going to be landing at 1:20 today in Honolulu. I'm going to be picking her up. May her faith never depart from her. Are you with me? This is how we pray in these last days. John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. John 15, 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Wow. What's the key? The word in you. Pray. For this is my by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Pray the word. Number six. We're to be telling others about Jesus now more than ever. That is with a sense of urgency. Be urgent about telling others. Right, JD? We're talking about this. We're talking about reaching more and more people. And God has opened up an opportunity for us. The Lord has allowed us. JD's reaching hundreds of thousands. Do you guys know? I know a prophet has honor everywhere he goes except in his own house. Do you know that your pastor, that if you go to his YouTube channel, do you know how many views this guy is getting? 100,000 people are watching your messages here at this church. Getting the word of God out. Why? Time's running out. We need to be busy about our Father's business. We need to be telling others. And the Holy Spirit is at work, and I want to give you some witness that nobody else anywhere else would care about this, I don't think, but the Lord has opened up the opportunity for, do you guys know Kalo TV at all? Anybody know anything about Kalo TV? You're going to see an increased effort to get the gospel out through Kalo TV in a way that it will reach beyond. Kalo TV will start targeting Guam with the gospel. The Philippines with the gospel. Why? Because Kalo TV is targeting Indonesia with the gospel. Why? Because the people in Indonesia are predominantly lost in Islam. Why are we doing this? Because listen, now's the time to tell more people more than ever. Noah had 120 years. We don't. It's pretty remarkable. I'm almost done. Number seven, we're to be filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit. I don't need to belabor this. We're to be filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit. Simply this, dear church family, you know that the moment you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, you know 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that the Holy Spirit came inside of you. Did you know that? Forever. One time. You only accept Christ once. If you've ever thought, well, I need to accept Jesus again. I had a bad week. That's not how it works. You accepted Christ once. The Holy Spirit came in to you one time. That's the Greek word en. And it's funny because it's like the English word in, inside. Once and for all, you're saved if you trust Christ, okay? But I'm talking about the epi, epi, power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. I want to give you this, and if you've ever listened to our sermons online, you've heard this before. I live like this. I've asked our church to live like this. I have no power to live the Christian life. So this morning I did it, and I'll do it tomorrow morning. Dear Lord, this is my romance between me and Jesus. Okay, it's personal. But I believe that while I'm laying in my bed before the Lord, I'm thinking, I'm not even on earth. I'm laying in bed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. I'm asking you now, Lord, to fill me with your Holy Spirit before I touch this world. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Amen. And I put my feet on the bed. On the floor. And I live. Whatever happens, I remind him, Lord, I miss my flight, Lord. Flat tire, Lord. Opportunity, Lord, right? I love it. The power of the Holy Spirit. Ask for him repeatedly. Eighth, we're to be looking forward to heaven. Are you looking forward to heaven? Anybody in here over 60 years of age? Over 60. Be honest, you're in church. Okay, look. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it awesome being a Christian as you get older? I'd hate to be a non-Christian getting older. That's got to be terrifying. As a Christian getting older, amen. Heaven's going to be awesome. When I was younger, earth was awesome. I felt good. I could jump over a fence. I could jump off a roof. I could do whatever I wanted to do. Now that I'm older, as a Christian, Lord, heaven's coming. This morning I got up. I'm over 60. I had to put on more cologne. Why? Because I'm dying. More deodorant. Why? Because I'm dying. Look, you see this? I'm going to invent this when I get home. Remember, did you guys have in the ice cream trucks the little elastic necklace and had candy on it? We had them in the States. You know, I'm going to invent, now that I'm over 60, I go like this now. It's like, I need ibuprofen for my bones. Then live a day. Oh, man, I got a headache. I need an aspirin. Oh, man, it's time for bed. I need Excedrin PM. Hey, man, you design that. You make $1 million doing that. Listen, we're going to heaven. Amen. You're in Hawaii. Guess what? This ain't heaven. We're going to go to heaven. Let's remember that. What an exciting thing that is. Number nine, we're to be busy about our Father's business. When Jesus comes back for us, I put it this way, by rapture or by rupture? Right? By rapture or rupture, I'm to be caught being busy about my Father's business. That's what we're to be doing. Jesus made that very clear. We're running out of time. I saw there's some tribute on TV in the room. It's so sad. It was a tribute to Mick Jagger. You know who Mick Jagger is? The Rolling Stones? Mick Jagger. And they showed this clip. And he's singing, time is on my side. Yes, it is. Have you seen Mick Jagger? Time has not been on his side. But it is for the Christian. It is for us. We're getting ready to go home. And number 10, be watchful. We're to be watching and listening for his return. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But this church, I tell you what, if there's any way that there's any pre-boarding for the rapture, it's for this church. To your credit, sir, when you're standing there in the terminal waiting, they always say things like, if you're in the military, if you have small children, or if you're disabled, please enter now, pre-boarding. If there's pre-boarding for the rapture, we all around the world need to keep our eyes on this church, because you're the most ready, at least you ought to be the most ready people for the coming of the Lord, but because of by how you're taught. And church, I got to tell you, there's enough going on in the world that's indicating that the times of the tribulation period is approaching. And I end with this picture. If I were to tell you that I'm going to come and pick you up, and I'm stealing this illustration from Dr. John Wolverine. He gave this at our church. If I'm going to pick you up, and I promise to pick you up in let's go crazy here, in a red Ferrari. I promise, you stand on the street corner and you be watching and you be listening, because I'm going to be coming to pick you up in a red Ferrari. But just know this, the tribulation period's also coming in a big yellow school bus. But I'm going to pick you up in a red Ferrari. And you're standing on the street corner, and life is happening. And you look down the street, and you see in the distance a yellow dot coming, and it's getting bigger. That yellow dot now you see is a school bus. And you can see now it says on the front, Highway to Hell. And it's so close now, there's some guy in a red suit driving with a red face. And you're looking. And you look at the license plate, and it says Hawaii 666 on it. The Aloha State, it says 666. This bus is coming, and now you're getting a little nervous. Did he promise me or did he not promise me? He said he's going to pick me up in a red Ferrari, but I can see signs of the coming of the end. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you hear this vroom, vroom, and pull up. I'm picking you up in a red Ferrari and away we go. I want you to think about that. Prophetically, we look around the world, we see the bus is coming, ladies and gentlemen. And very soon and very soon, Jesus will come for us. But the bottom line is this, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you trust Him? That's the key. To put your faith in Jesus, you can be ready in a moment's time by believing that He died on the cross for your sins personally. Past, present, and future. He knew He's God. He's eternally new. And that if you trust Him, the Bible says He'll come in, He'll make you a brand new person. He'll transform your life. You don't do Christianity. Christ does you by the Holy Spirit's power. Will you trust Him today if you don't? And for those of us who do trust Him, will we stay at it? JD, I don't know what it is time-wise. I think I ate up the clock. Yeah? Okay. Father, I thank You for this precious church. Lord, again, I would be today enjoying the cherry on top of the whipped cream, on top of the cake, being in this fellowship. A fellowship, a church that is known and read by those around the world. We're on holy ground. So, Father, today, whoever may be here right now, that they may have been caught up in religion, they may have been caught up in stuff, I don't know, they may be battling with a ton of excuses or reasons. None of them have comforted their soul because You refuse excuses. Maybe there's somebody here today that's trying to get into heaven on the coattails of their wife or their husband or their mom or dad. It's never going to work. You're the personal Savior, Jesus. And You only accept the personal faith. And so I pray today, Father, that those that are here, that they would make that decision right now, right where they're at, by saying, Lord, just now change my life as I'm hearing today. Lord, and that may even be you today. You're a doubter. You're just very skeptical. You know what? That's okay. Can you pray this? Will you just talk to God and say this? God, if You're real, will You show me Yourself? Could you do that? Lord, I pray by whatever authority I may be granted by You, which I have no clue what it might be. But if it's something, I pray all of it upon this church that You'd bless it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys so much.
Once you all stand. Wow. Pastor Jack, you could have gone for another 3 hours. And yes, praise the Lord. Well, the worship team is going to close us as they always do. And I would just ask if anybody here today wants to, after the worship team closes us, come up and just let us know. If today was the day of your salvation, we want to know that. For those of you watching online, this is the service that we're going to upload. I may also upload second service as well, have the guys do it on YouTube. It was that good. And thank you so much, Pastor Jack. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord.